1988, and we have with us tonight Miss Marion Frances Brown, alias Gigi. So, how old are you, Gigi?
22.
What's your birthday?
It's November 8th, 65.
And what's your permanent address?
1646 Park Road. DC. So you just want me to start talking?
Just talk all you want. Talk about your life. Talk about growing up.
Well, I can make the growing up part short, I hope. My dad was in the military and moved around a lot for, I guess, the first 8 years of my life, 8.5 years. I don't know, my life seems to be real segmented. There wasn't any kind of consistency in my growing up. I mean, my dad was away a lot. My parents had a really unhappy marriage. I don't really have any good memories of their marriage. I have a few. But, growing up was really difficult because when my father was around, everything was regimented and everything was done just right. There were a lot of house rules, and I don't know, everything was really structured when my father was home. When he was away, especially when he was away in Vietnam, things were real haywire. My mom didn't have she didn't have control over anything, over the bills, she didn't have control over the kids. Things were a lot more lenient, and there wasn't any structure, except for the fact that my mom, she took care of us, she took minimum care of us. We were dressed and fed and went to school. But it was completely different. I mean, we lived two different lives, with dad and without dad. And I guess everything came to a head when we moved to Alexandria. And the marriage was really falling apart at that point. And I guess where I was in all of this was, I started creating my own world when I was really young. I guess it was because I couldn't deal with what was going on. I just didn't choose to. And I was a loner, and I fantasized a lot. And I always had something going on for myself in my head that had nothing to do with what was really going on. And for me, when I was young, it was a kind of a freedom. And as I got older and I started getting towards the point where I was supposed to get ready to go out on my own, it became a trap, especially when I finally did go out on my own. My world was not, it wasn't parallel to the real world. It had nothing to do with the real world. And I started paying the price for it. I still wanted very much to live out what I felt was destined for me, and that was to continue to be a loner, to be sort of a student in life is what I thought it was. I hung out with older people. I didn't feel comfortable with anybody my age or younger. I felt threatened by people, especially people that were younger than I was. And so I hung out with an older crowd. And I guess when things started, I guess really when I started acting out, destructively was in high school. I started running away from home a lot, and then I found out that I couldn't make it out in the real world real quickly. I mean, what I wanted for myself just didn't work when I was out alone trying to fend for myself. I was just too sheltered and too unaware of how to take care of myself. I started my first form of using was smoking pot and drinking. I mean, it was what everyone else was, but the thing that worked for me, or what I felt worked the best for me, was with food. And I found hidden pleasure. It was really a private pleasure. And purging my food. I mean, the eating, well, at first was done in front of everyone, and the purging was a special secret for me. And it just, I mean, it was a game at first, and it got real hellish. I mean, I don't really know how to sum everything up. I just, really my bottom, I guess, started when I moved out of my parents' house. And I was, I was constantly in and out of trouble, constantly in and out of crises with money. I couldn't pay the rent, I'd get kicked out of here, I'd have to go back home. I'd shift from place to place. Jobs, I couldn't hold down a job. I had no confidence in myself, but I felt that I felt justified in everything that was going on. I felt that, I just believed that there was nothing really that wrong. This is really hard. So I was back and forth from home and out on my own. I also tried living with my mother a couple times in Florida because my parents are divorced and my mother's in Florida. Can you kind of like lead me into something? Cause I'm
no, just keep talking. Okay. Don't worry about it.
I guess I decided when I couldn't get it together in Virginia. I lived with a couple of boyfriends, and they were real short term. I mean, they were people I didn't really even know. I mean, they met me when I was in the middle of all kinds of crap going on, and they would take me in. And the first time, I guess I stayed with them for about a month, and it was horrible. I mean, we were both drinking, and I don't know, I was a mess. My life was really a mess. I ended up having to call my dad and get bailed out again. And then from that point I did all kinds of things. I lived all kinds of places. I don't even remember where. So many places I can't even remember. It'd take me forever to figure it all out. I ended up living with another boyfriend on a real, it was real sudden. I moved in with him. It was supposed to be really temporary. I ended up staying there for about a month and a half. And as usual, I just didn't, anytime I was given help, I just, you give me an inch, I took 40 miles. I took advantage of anything I could at any given time. I was always taking advantage of things. People were always trying to help me. I always appeared to other people always seemed to think that I had so much potential that if I just had the right help, that I could really get it together. And people were always pitying me because they always felt that my father was wrong for continuing to turning me out of the house. And they always felt so sorry for me. And so I always had people to help me. I always knew the right things to say, knew the right way to look, and there were always people taking me in. And then finally I decided that I really wanted to make a go of taking care of myself. And I had managed to save up a whole lot of money, more money than I'd ever saved up before, just waitressing and living in this little, running a room in a house, and things in my life started to settle down for the first time. And I guess I was afraid of getting caught in a spot in life. I was afraid of getting in a rut. I was only waitressing. My life just seemed to get really small when I settled down. Things seemed to shrink. I wasn't out running wild, and I didn't, my world just seemed to shrink. It got really small. It was work and putting all my paychecks into the bank, and the people I knew at work and the people I knew where I lived, and that it was just getting narrowed down into something I didn't like. It was boring. And so I took the money that I saved, and I had been planning on buying a car, and it just seemed all of a sudden that buying a car was just going to tie me down even more, and, you know, it was going to add another responsibility, and it just seemed that it was going to pin me down that much more. And so I told everyone I was just going to take off to California, that I was going to try it out in San Diego, and no one in my family believed me, and I was determined to do it. And up until the night before, I mean, I moved out of the place I lived, I quit my job, I moved home temporarily, and up until the night before I was supposed to leave, I had plans to go, and then I decided last minute I didn't want to go. And I moved out to Baltimore, and I lived with a friend of mine who was a really weird situation. She was taking care of a family, sort of an au pair, I guess. And I lived out there, and I felt completely out of place. I'd never lived in a different state from either one of my parents. Everywhere I'd chosen to live, it had always been real close by to one of my parents. And it wasn't really that far away. It just was, I wasn't in running distance. Like, I didn't run home. And the place where I was didn't have any jobs. And I was getting caught in a rut again. And I decided, I'd always had this dream of running away from things. I mean, really picking up, packing a little bag and running away. And so I packed a backpack, and I took some real basic clothes, and I hitchhiked to Florida. And it was like always what I had always wanted to do, something like this. And it wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be, but it was kind of the way I pictured it. I did the trucker's route. I went, you know, from trucker to trucker, and it only took a few days. And I had some rough spots, but, you know, I had my late nights in the cafes, old diners with the greasy coffee, and I thought this was really neat because it was always how I pictured it. But I met some rough men, and had a few incidences, and a few times of giving in to people because I wanted to get to where I was going, and I didn't feel that I had the right to, I didn't really feel like I had the right to get a free ride, and that's how really screwed up my thinking was. And then when I got to Florida, you know, I was close by to my mother again, and I stayed with some friends of mine from high school, and I freeloaded for a while, and for a long time. And decided again that I had to take care of myself. There was something I had to do. I couldn't live off people anymore. It was such a humiliating thing. I would do it, and I wouldn't think anything of it, but it was humiliating. It was just easy, and so I rented a, I took one of my last paychecks from a job that I was fired from, and I rented a motel room, and I had 2 weeks rent in, and I had that time to look for a job so I could continue to stay there. And during all this, I had a lot of abstinence time, but the running and the not facing things was there. I mean, it was crazy. And when I stayed in this hotel, I put myself into a position where I didn't have a choice but to do the next, you know, right thing for myself. I looked through scoured the papers every day for work, and I finally found something I could start right away. It was a labor job where they paid you the same day. And I went out to this, rode my bike like 40 miles, it seemed. It probably wasn't that far, but I rode my bike all the way out to this place, and I'd do this hard labor every day, real dirt work for dirt money, and I just felt really good about myself because I'd never done any hard work before, and I'd I never felt like I'd ever made a sacrifice for myself before. And I was doing this, and my eating was beginning to act up, and there was all kinds of things going on. I was starting to drink with the crew a lot after work, and my attitude was falling apart. I mean, my, you know, gung-ho, take care of myself attitude was just really crumbling. And the more it crumbled, the more I drank, the more I drank, the worse it got. And it's just, it was real cliche. I mean, it's, and my drinking and my eating seemed to go hand in hand. I don't know. Just, they seemed to be linked. I don't know, I guess I drank to relax, I drank to fit in, to forget about how I felt about myself for real. Because when I wasn't in a state of either intoxication or a complete exhaustion from my eating, to where I couldn't even think of anything except how desperately exhausted I felt and afraid. I was always afraid when I got to the point where I took that much out of myself that I was gonna die that way. If I wasn't drunk or exhausted, I was faced with myself and I didn't like it. I couldn't stand it. I could never stop thinking about things. I could never stop obsessing about how self-conscious I was. I was afraid to talk to people because I was afraid of the things that I would say. I was afraid of going to work. I was just afraid to be with people. And I don't know, for some reason the drinking and the being worn out all the time, just exhausted from everything, from work, from just everything, seemed to take me real far away from myself. It's that kind of life that I led. But as I got more and more disorganized and disoriented, I guess I just lost the faith in taking care of myself completely, and my mother had to take me in and let me live with her, and it was a real mess because her marriage is, she's living with a chronic alcoholic, and she's got problems of her own, and my problems just compounded their problems, and so I was glad to get a job. I was glad to save up money and move out, and I got my own apartment for the first time. And for the first month, it was okay. It was really lonely. I had this job working with fiberglass and, you know, laminating things with it and working with this resin, and it was just a gross job, and I was always covered with fiberglass. It was a messy job, and I didn't like it. I didn't like where I lived. I didn't like living alone. I didn't like not having a boyfriend. I didn't like the fact that being responsible separated me from my friends because they were out there doing the same things I used to do. I was just really lonely. I felt so set apart from everyone. Being taking care of myself was a real lonely chore. And so I started dating someone, and I guess I managed to choose someone that needed someone else in their life as badly as I did. And so it was a sick relationship. There were a lot of drugs. I did a lot more. I think I used a lot more during this time than I had at any other time. It was just constant, and I didn't like it at this point. At this point, it wasn't fun anymore. It was kind of a sickening type of thing. On one hand, I had a huge group of friends because the person that I dated had a lot of friends, had a lot of connections. It all had to do with using, and there was nothing real about it, and yet it gave me a sense of belonging, a sense of being a part of something that I wanted. So I sacrificed my health, and I sacrificed any desire to stop using drugs to be a part of this group. And I was really fighting myself because at that point I could see that I wasn't getting anywhere, and that the drugs just were making things worse. I knew it, and I it's like a battle. I never felt that I couldn't stop using, but I never was able to put it down either, for all kinds of different reasons or excuses. I couldn't stop. And I finally was really neglecting myself. I was neglecting my responsibilities at my apartment. It was a mess all the time. I didn't ever have any money. I was starting to run out of money to put together for bills. And I was, during the holidays, I was getting money from my family, and so I used whatever I could that I was given from my mother, from my family back in Virginia, to put together for rent, and I was paying rent just on by sheer luck. And I lasted that place for 3 months. And then I just hated everything so much that I just, as usual, I just wanted to jump out of it and run away again. And so I started hiding from my boyfriend. I started staying in another part of town with an old friend of mine. And I cut off that relationship. I also cut off being able to live in that apartment because I just stopped paying rent. I just left my things there. I never really lived there anymore for the last month. And when I finally moved out, I ended up with the same people I started with when I got there. They were living in another apartment. I freeloaded again. I went from job to job. I never used the money that I made to give them anything. I used it all on myself, either drinking or food or... I don't even remember what I spent my money on. I just never had any, never. And I made money. You know, it wasn't very much, but I had money, and I never had any in my pocket. And I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't stand being like that. I couldn't stand living someplace where no one really wanted me there because I was a freeloader, and yet they wouldn't tell me to leave. And I knew that it was up to me to get myself out of it. And I didn't know how. My mother was not a resource anymore. My cousin wasn't, just my family just wasn't able to help me anymore. And so I called up another friend in Baltimore, and I asked him, please, come down and get me, send me money, just get me out of here. And he called my mother, and she threw some of my things together that were there. And she came out and got all my things, and she threw it all in boxes and put me on a Greyhound bus. And I rode up with a friend of mine who was a friend from that I lived, I don't know, I just some a friend of mine that moved around with me a lot. And we went back up to Baltimore together, and I stayed with this guy for about a month, I guess. I promised to get work. I promised to go to therapy for my eating. I promised a lot of things that I never went through with. I never left the apartment. I never looked for a job. My eating was out of control. I had stopped drinking, and I justified my eating with the fact that I wasn't drinking anymore. I thought, this is great. I'm not using drugs. I'm not drinking. But I am a bulimic, and so, therefore I can't help what I do. Calling myself a bulimic was not an admittance to being powerless or anything. It was an excuse, because as long as I gave myself the excuse that I had this problem, I didn't put any energy forth to stop doing it. Of course, I ran this guy just right out of my life almost. He just wanted me out of his life. He wanted me out of that place. Everything got really out of hand, and another family member had to take me in. And I stayed with her about 2 months, and she helped me get a job, and she gave me some clothes for the, you know, for work, and fed me, and let me stay there for free as long as I saved the money to move out. And about this time, I met back up with her ex-boyfriend, who had been someone that I had always been able to relate to because he was he had serious life problems too, and he told me he was in this program, and the first thing I noticed about him was that just the way he held himself, the way he spoke, the way he looked clean, he smelled good. I mean, I can't even describe how he looked different. He looked vital, he looked healthy, he looked really good. And I thought, you know, I don't understand, I can't believe it. I mean, I asked him, what did you do? How did you get this way? I mean, why are you so different? And you know, that's when he told me about the program. And I thought, oh God. And I just, it wasn't very appealing because I'd heard a lot about different types of recovery programs. And I'd never taken any of it seriously. But I guess I liked what I saw in Tom so much that I'd give it a try. I mean, I felt that another fellowship was the best place for me for my eating, but I just wanted to check out a 12-step program, and so I went to a meeting, and I guess I didn't really feel completely at home, but I don't know what attracted me to it. I don't know why I kept going back. Because for a while, I guess what really kept me going back at first was that these people were really friendly. I mean, they didn't, the first night that I went there, they opened their arms to me. They didn't exclude me because I didn't already know them or I didn't already know somebody there. And they just were really open and full of all kinds of suggestions, and they gave me these phone numbers. You know, I just felt like I had a lot of friends again. That's really what I wanted. I wanted to belong somewhere. I wanted to feel like when I talked that I wasn't sounding like I didn't make sense, like I wasn't sounding weird and crazy. And it didn't, you know, it just didn't seem to matter what I said. It was really hard at first to talk because I was still stuck with that fear that I was gonna seem crazy and that these people were gonna, you know, be disgusted with me. But I started hearing similar things from other people. I just started hearing things that sounded real familiar, and for a while it was going really well, and I decided that, I don't know how it happened, my views on things started to change. I guess I was still pretty at a vulnerable spot with myself. Even though there were a lot of good things happening, I mean, I moved into a house with recovering people, and I had a lot of friends, and I had someone I could always call. I don't know, I guess I was still really fresh because I got, I don't know if this is important to talk about, but I don't know. I don't know if I should talk about that.
About what?
Going back out.
How could I whatever you want? about your trip to St. Eve.
Well, there, that's not my
a
only...
A lot of this is going to have to be edited, just to simplify some things and just make it more interesting, because you do get carried away, everybody does. I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but just keep talking. It's important just to keep talking. We shared a lot of good stuff.
I just don't know how to make things simple. I mean, I don't know how to, like, tie things together.
Moved into the house of the recovering people.
Well, I started... I don't know, I started, dating someone. And, I don't know, it says you're not supposed to do this for the first year, you're not supposed to get involved in any kind of relationships for the first year, and I had no idea what that meant, why they said that. And I got wrapped up into someone, and all of a sudden, my life was centered around one other person, and I didn't even realize how I was forgetting everything else. I didn't even see everything else in my... I didn't see how everything else in my life was falling apart again, because I was obsessed with another person, and I just didn't see anything else. And, I guess that's it. I just, I did a lot of crazy things. I've done a lot of crazy things using, and I've done a lot of crazy things clean. Being in this relationship was not the only thing, and the things that happened. I guess the reason that I'm wandering a lot is because I don't have a lot of time in recovery. I don't feel very stable. I'm not able to talk about much else besides a lot of pretty screwed up things that I've done, because I haven't really changed that much. I haven't really come that far away from that kind of behavior. I haven't had enough time put between myself and my old ways.
Have a bunch of tape left.
Do I have to fill up the whole page?
No, just keep talking for another 5 minutes, and I'll be right back. Okay?
Okay.
Talk about your urges and wanting to use. You're feeling lonely. You're isolating. Your good feelings. Your newfound freedom. Right?
Okay. No. I guess I still do have urges to use. Only I've had... I've had a recent relapse, and so it took a lot out of me. I mean, it set me back a lot in my recovery. It gave me a lot of doubts about the good things that I'd had. It made me focus more on, I guess, the negative. I mean, my decision, I guess I should talk about my decision to go back out was seemed like a spur-of-the-moment thing. It seemed like just something I wanted to do all of a sudden. There were a lot of, there was a lot of poor decision-making going on between the time that I had 3 months under my belt and the day that I decided to use. I mean, in my first 3 months, gave me something, was beginning to give me something that I don't think I've ever really had before. I was beginning to feel okay without the companionship of another person, of a boyfriend or a best buddy. You know, I just didn't have to have that one other person in my life to go on. I was just beginning to get that feeling that it was okay. The feeling that it was okay to lead a simple life, to get up in the morning, to go to work, to come home in the afternoon, spend a little time with roommates, you know, a little time with friends, a little time on the phone, then to go to a meeting and then just to go back home and go to bed. I was just beginning to feel that there wasn't a lot wrong with that. Eliminating a lot of complications in my life was beginning to become more soothing than boring. And I was starting to enjoy it. It was a real personal feeling. It wasn't anything that anyone was helping me to feel. Well, I don't want to say that, but it was something within me. It wasn't something that I wanted from someone else. It was just something that was happening to me. And there was someone who I didn't know very well, who popped into the scene, who wanted to date, who wanted to do a lot of things that were familiar to me, that were, I don't know, it was like taking a step backwards, and I knew it. Because what I had, you know, just in the 3 months was some, I don't know, like I was going forward. And then I knew that by being with this person, it was going to be a step backward. It was going to be a step closer to where I used to be. But I did it. You know, it took him a while to convince me that I wanted to be with him, because at first I had just enough strength to know what I wanted and what I didn't want, and I didn't want to be with someone else. And I was just beginning to get satisfied with being by myself, because I wasn't by myself. I mean, for one, I had all kinds of friends. I was beginning to believe in a higher power. Yeah. Praying was daily, even though it wasn't always easy to do it. It was something that I did every day. But for some reason, I mean, just, well, I don't know, it seems like I'm off on a tangent again, but I dated this person, and I obsessed, and I forgot the other people in my life, and I forgot the good feelings that I had, and I got further and further back into the way I used to be. I don't want to blame it on the other person, because I know that it's all me. I mean, whatever I do, whether I choose to be, whether I choose to work the program or to do other things that, I don't know, that just don't have much to do with recovery, it's all on me. I guess. I don't really know how to tie this up. I mean, it was a hazardous relationship. There wasn't a lot of time for anything else, except this one other person. And the rest of my life fell apart again. And his as well. I mean, this was a two-way thing. I mean, it was happening to both of us. And we had to stop seeing each other, and when I was forced to be alone again, and I didn't have what I had, you know, a month ago. I didn't have all these friends anymore because I didn't choose to keep them in my life. I really was alone, and I'd lost all sense of higher power, you know, of a God in my life. Even though I'd continued to pray, I just didn't pray with a lot of faith. I prayed out of desperation. I prayed when I was lonely. I prayed when I was angry. You know, I prayed for this relationship to work. I forgot about everything else. I just saw, I had thrown everything else out the window, and when I was alone again, I was stuck with myself without any kind of foundation. I really was alone. I really felt that I was alone. And I think my relapse was a way of escaping the space that I had between myself and the friends that I'd made into, I don't know, I guess I felt it would tie me to something that was familiar, because I wasn't familiar with being clean and being lonely. I wasn't familiar with not being able to use all my little devices to get away from things, drugs and my eating. I wasn't used to not having that and being alone and scared and having a really messed up life. I guess I just ran back to it because it's the only way I knew how to be. It was like the icing on the cake. I mean, it was, how can you have a screwed up life without having your toys, you know, without having your little escape mechanisms, the ones that you knew the best. I think I'm running out of tape.
Not running out of tape. We have all the tapes we want.
Coming back was the hardest thing. I mean, going back out was a snap decision. Coming back was really scary. I guess, I don't know, I felt completely different about everything the second time. Coming into the rooms, I already knew the people there. I already knew the ways of the program. I wasn't really fresh anymore. I didn't feel that naive, innocent feeling the second time around. I felt that, kind of a tainted feeling. Like I knew better, and I couldn't really just sit in a room and pretend like I didn't know any better. I don't know. Know how to explain it. I felt like a liar. I felt like I cheated a lot of people. I felt like nobody trusted me anymore. I didn't really trust myself. I didn't really trust anything that came out of my mouth when I shared. And I sure didn't want to sit around and talk about recovery when I was fresh from being back out. I wasn't clean anymore. I didn't, you know, even though I was like abstaining again, I didn't feel clean. And I didn't feel that I had the right to say anything about recovery. It is, I don't know. I stayed away from my meetings for a long time. I stayed away from my old friends. I mean, the friends that I'd made the first time. And I went to other fellowships. I did anything I could. I spread myself really thin. I tried to get a new sponsor. I tried to make new friends. I tried to hold on to my relationship. I tried to get that back. And I was really desperate, and I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what I wanted. And I began to think that the program just wasn't what I wanted anymore. And all it took was to go back into an old meeting and to share honestly about how I felt and about what new things are going on in my life. And I started to feel like I still had something. I didn't feel like I'd thrown everything out the window as much as I did the first, I don't know, that right after I did it. I felt like I'd really torn everything up and just threw it away. In the way, I still have what I got in the first 3 months, which wasn't a lot, but it was enough to carry over. It was enough to, bring me back to the program. It was enough to get me humble. Enough to come back to the people that I'd started something with. Had I been in there for 30 days, maybe, and not made a lot of ties with people. I went on a convention, after my first 30 days. Had I not done a lot of those things, made all these friends, I really worked hard on myself for 3 months. I really opened up. I didn't really feel like I had anything to lose the first time around. Because if I hadn't done all that, I wouldn't have gone back. I wouldn't be back. Maybe, I don't know. And just realizing that I really, I still have something. I have learned something. I even learned something being back out and running away from the people that I knew the best. I was learning out there. It's changing somehow. I was watching myself. Being back is different. I still got what I had, but it's time seems to go slower. There's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot of financial problems. But I did manage to get back into a recovery house just about right away. It only took me about a week and a half to get back into one. I was back in a house. And I never didn't have a friend. The entire time I was out and running and scared and not wanting to go back, I had a friend that was a program person that was clean and that cared. Who just kind of bridged me and the program. There was a little tie there the whole time. I never really let go. I held on to something, which is one other person. And it's really all it took. One other clean person that cared. And I got back.